There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that only comes out at night and we don't sparkle as much. And joining me, as always, is Lee.
No, we do not sparkle, especially this close to Dragon Con. There's no sparklage.
It's all covered in dirt and dust right now.
It is all dirt and dust right now. And then we'll sparkle when it starts on Friday. But yeah, so we're good. Talking about Dragon Con and when it starts and everything, there are going to be people, you know, we've talked to gaming before. Phil, the director of the gaming room, has said often that people on Thursday night are like trying to get in and just start their own little gaming and all that. Well, we found out because gaming is over at America's Mart. We talked about that with Regina and we talked about that with Phil. And it's a good thing because it's double the space from last year. Always good.
But Lee.
Yes.
But it used to be open 24 hours. I'm never going to be able to get in there now.
It's going to still be open 24 hours.
What?
And there's an entrance just for us to get into America's Mart that they're going to be monitoring. I'm serious. So it's on Peachtree Street. It's kind of across and a little bit diagonal from the Hyatt. But it's right there where the Starbucks is. There is, right beside that Starbucks, there's a tunnel. It looks like a tunnel. It's really not. It looks like a really long tunnel, but it's not. But it is the entrance, so you can follow that and get into America's Mart for the 24-hour gaming.
And that is actually the one that most people go through, too, anyway, to get to the vendors and whatnot.
Yeah, it's usually, during the day, you'd go through it also to get to the vendors.
Here's a secret.
But yeah,
here's a secret.
It will be open for the gaming 24 hours.
For the vendors, go around the side.
For the vendors, go around the side. It's much faster.
It's much faster.
Oh my God, it's so much faster. That is also an accessible entrance as well on Peachtree Street. That is the accessible entrance to get over to the America's Mart and get into the gaming.
Okay, that's good to know.
So yeah, but it does look like a really long tunnel that's taking you nowhere because it's just like, it's really kind of a little scary.
But Lee,
when you first look at it.
But Lee, yeah, I get really scared. I mean, there might be something that might jump out at me.
There could be vampires.
Vampires.
There could be werewolves.
Werewolves.
Could be zombies.
Zombies.
But you know, all of those fantasies that you are going to have, or terrors that you are going to have as you walk down
say,
there.
Hey.
We have shows
that
know how to stop them.
No, we don't.
And we have a track
Liar.
That can support that.
Liar.
I'm not a liar. In our hallway is Carol, the director of Urban Fantasy. Come on in, Carol.
Oh, hey, Carol. I didn't see you there.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me tonight.
How long have you been lurking around there?
Well, some of that information may be secret. But
yes.
This is the fourth year of the track, so I guess we don't actually qualify as new anymore. But we are actually not that far from that tunnel, and a lot of the gaming does go on in the Westin as well now this year.
That's true.
So, yeah, so we may have some people that are providing security for, you know, those of you who are a little afraid of the tunnel. John,
yeah, it'll be okay. Somebody will hold your hand. Why am I talking about it? You won't be able to find that tunnel. You have no idea. You'll just find it when you're accidentally lost.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you'll just be lost. I know. He'll just be lost, guys. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. So Carol, Urban Fantasy. What is Urban Fantasy? As you say, it's been 4 years. But for people who maybe haven't come to Dragon Con before or haven't gotten to that track yet, what is it?
Urban Fantasy can probably best be described as fantasy that takes place in the real world. I mean, it's an identifiable real world. It may be sometimes there may be an alternate version, and we have some series that are actually set in Atlanta that are like that. But what the difference is that the supernatural is real, whether it's hidden from the rest of the human society, or people know about it and it's accepted. But it's where magic and the supernatural are actually part of everyday life, whether or not people know it.
There you go.
Right.
Right. So most of these are people that are on kind of the down low.
So you've got a lot of CW guests then.
I mean, yes,
if it's,
well,
because it's either on, it seems like on the CW, either it is, well, I guess with the exception of the 100, it's either superheroes or, well, urban fantasy for the most part, it seems like.
Right. Yes, most of the shows that I cover are actually on the CW. In terms of actual guests, though, in the past, the media guests that we've had have been a sci-fi channel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And because we had Bitten and Lost Girl last year. We had Lost Girl 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, we'll always have a soft spot for them because first year of the track, they were the first, you know, the first media property that we had taken part in the track. And that was a really big deal. And they were a good way to start. And this year, we're very excited because we have iZombie.
Yeah. One of my favorite shows.
I really enjoy it as well. And you'll have to come over and see some of the panels, John.
I, like you, will be also very busy. I hope to. Do you actually have a tentative schedule of when maybe the iZombie main panels will be?
Yes. Now we have... tentative. Yes, everything is tentative. As we all know, up until the time it actually occurs... And I've heard the joke that sometimes that can still be afterwards. People might question whether or not it actually happened. But I think by the time it's time for panel, if it takes place, you can assume it's not tentative anymore. But as of right now, we have a couple of guests who will be there on Friday at 11:30. And that will be in the Peachtree Ballroom.
Woo-hoo!
On Saturday at 4 o'clock in Centennial, we'll have three. And then again on Sunday, we'll have three in the Peachtree Ballroom again.
There you go.
So yes, it's very exciting. And, you know, at this point, we don't know if something else could always get added. But right now, those three are the definites.
And do always remember, kind of Regina said it when we did hers, but you know, some of these people are filming. So maybe when the thing comes out, there are three or four guests listed and one of them has to cancel a day or come a day later or whatever. It's because they're filming, folks. Calm down. Dragon Con didn't lie to you.
Right. And sometimes it can work the other way around as well.
Yes.
Less likely, but every now and then we were thrilled that last year, even though she was only booked for 3 days, that Anna Silk from Lost Girl ended up staying the fourth day because she was having so much fun.
There you go. Always good.
Yeah. You never know. But just to stay tuned to find out. It'll get announced if those things change in terms of the actual dates. But John, I hope that one of those times will work for you and that you can make it over there.
Oh, yeah. I'll make an effort. Definitely. It is literally
hotel is she in?
What hotel are you in again?
We are in the Westin most of the time. I mean, that's where our base of operations is. That's where the track room is.
That
is where most of our panels take place. This year we have a few, I think it's maybe five, something like that, that take place in the Hyatt, which is thankfully the closest place to the Westin the easiest one to get to. So,
and remember folks, that's because that's the bigger rooms that when you've got some of those big panels, you want to be able to get all about 2,500 of you in one room. So you can all see the panel. Cause remember what we said, even if you sit in the back, they're big screens. It's awesome. So yeah,
actually I think it's four. I think I made a mistake, but in any case, they're all marked on our schedule. Everything, so people will know where to go, and signage always does a nice job of letting people know, as long as people actually pay attention to the sign saying that there's a different location.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of faith in humanity.
Well, I always try to make a point of that, especially a lot on Friday, just because you get the, you know, if you get people that are new to the con and that's their first day there, I try to mention it every time we have a panel in the track room that this particular one coming up, you know, it, even though it says it on the sign, people see the sign outside your track room. So they assume that it's in that room. And I try to explain, no, it's part of our track, but it's not in this room. So just make sure and look. But we also have a sign that we can put out front that says, you know, panels in the ball in a ballroom right now. So you can figure it out.
There you go. See? Fun.
Yes.
Fun. Okay. And that'll all be in your pocket program, folks, and be on the app, so you'll know where to go. So when you're talking about some of the iZombie, which is really cool, what are some of the discussions just in your room that you're really looking forward to do this year? Are other things you're really looking forward to doing in your room?
Well, we have a number of different, you know, thematic type panels in the Urban Fantasy track. We have, because I cover both books and media. So the shows that we cover, we have 12 different shows that are, you know, deemed urban fantasy, and those we will cover with fan panel discussions, and those will be a lot of fun. I'm expecting that we'll have a good turnout. We have a couple for Supernatural because we always get a lot of folks that turn out for them. So. And one of those actually is not going to be a panel, a fan panel per se, but it is a place in Florida, based in Florida, is called Frostbite Pictures. And actually, I may be wrong about that. I think maybe it's a joint Florida and Canadian production.
Mm.
And they have done, they're putting together a movie, and they've done a series of webisodes on Supernatural fandom. And about some of the things that people get involved in. And, you know, it's really interesting. I've seen one of the episodes, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to screen one of those in the room on Friday night at 8:30. And the artistic director and communications director for the company will be there to answer questions and everything. And then we're also going to see some clips from the full-length movie that they made. So we're hoping that maybe by next year we'll get to screen the whole movie. But for various reasons, we could not do that this year. But we will do the webisode and get to hear about how they went about, you know, filming this by talking to people. So that should be very exciting. We have with our you know, wonderful group of authors that we have this year. I'm very fortunate that I have three of the biggest names in the field that will be taking part this year, Patricia Briggs and Kevin Hearn, neither of whom have ever been to Dragon Con before. So I'm very excited for them to be there, and they're excited about it as well. And then our literary guest of honor, Jim Butcher.
So,
we're very excited that all of them will be there, as well as the other 30 plus people that will be on panels with them in various locations. You know, there are going to be different topics. Some of the ones that people can find in the track room itself, aside from fan panels over the different media properties, the different shows, there are going to be topics such as, you know, historical urban fantasy, you know, taking the supernatural and putting it back in time into an existing time, you know, an actual time that did take place, but, you know, all of a sudden there are vampires wandering around or whatever. And we're going to have one on called Living with the Dead, Ghosts, Spirits, and Necromancers in Urban Fantasy, and one on violence in urban fantasy. Is there a line? There are just any number of thematic you know, approaches to the genre, which is something that I do. I don't cover although people sometimes ask these questions when it's time for the audience Q&A. We don't do process or craft related panels in terms of how do you write the stuff. That's what the writer's track is for. And some of the other lit tracks, you know, delve into that a little bit because that is what they cover. But for the urban fantasy track, it's more of a thematic background. We will do one on gods and monsters, the origins of gods and monsters in urban fantasy, because those are all, you know, all of that kind of mythology and storytelling like that has had an impact on, you know, modern urban fantasy.
And I think that's really cool too, to link the books and the TV shows and everything else we're seeing. It's just, I think that's really neat. I love it. That's cool. Cool, cool, cool. And especially because those are such cool authors too. Oh my God.
Yes. I'm very fortunate. I have been since 2013, since day one. So I've considered myself very fortunate, but this year is especially exciting because of the, you know, just the kind of the energy that is being, I guess, generated by the fact that there are people there who've never been before. And that's always fun.
There you go.
And so give us a quick little history too of how the urban fantasy track came to be. Cause it wasn't, it, like you said, it was, you've been there since 2013 when it started, but it wasn't always a track, obviously.
No, what happened was that back before I ever even became involved with the con, which started in 2008, there was a track called Dark Fantasy. And I believe it used to be called Gothic Shadows before that. But then, when the new director took over, decided, well, I need to change that name because it doesn't really give a good, it doesn't give a clear picture of what it was that, you know, he wanted to do. So it got changed to Dark Fantasy. And I worked with him for 5 years. And it ended up that the track was great and we had a lot of fun. But what was happening was that it was a larger umbrella for, it was an umbrella for urban fantasy, for horror, and for anything else that could kind of squeeze in around the edges that was maybe tangentially related in some way. And at that point, you know, it went on for a couple of years that the track director said, you know, we need to split this up. This needs to change. We've got too much. We've got too many people that we can use. If we split this up, then we can, you know, offer more programming that's more specific to both of these areas. And so both the urban fantasy track and the horror track were born at that time.
There is. I mean, a lot of people, when urban fantasy came about with X-Track too, because it took Supernatural from us over there. And it was one of those things that it's like that, it makes more sense over there. It really does. We're not, you know, it's not really a government conspiracy on Supernatural. You don't have a real government involvement. So it was like, okay, so Grimm stays with us because there is still kind of the conspiracy part. There's still the police, a little bit of government. So yeah. And it needed it. We needed it. Those shows are just jumping all the way.
Right. And it, you know, I went from having 9 shows last year to having 12 this year. So right. It's, and then there are two that I'll be covering this year that are already ended. Both Bitten and Lost Girl will have fan panels and, you know, to discuss them and give them their proper send off and everything. And two of the shows that will still be on this coming season, it's their last season. Both Teen Wolf and Vampire Diaries are going to be in their last season. So at that
point, I didn't realize that about Teen Wolf. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, which kind of makes sense because there's only so long that you can call somebody a Teen Wolf.
True.
You know, kind of make sense. They would have to change it to something else, I suppose. But it's a great show. And, you know, I think they made the right decision. At least this way they can come up with the ending they want and go out on top. And it will have been on for 6 years by the time it ends. But in any case, they'll be done, but I'm sure there'll be a couple more at least to replace them. So but we're very fortunate that, you know, that we have such a wealth of material, both in media and print, to choose from to cover.
Okay. That's cool.
That's great.
That is very cool.
So is there anybody that's not in your track this year or any event that you would like to try and go catch?
Yes. I would really, I'm hoping, I got my fingers crossed, that I may make it over to at least one of the Grimm panels. I really would like to see that because I do really enjoy the show, and I know that it's exciting when they can come. And it's a big deal. It's a really big deal for the fans because I don't believe that they do a lot of cons. So the fact that we treated the ones who were here a few years ago so well, that speaks well to your track, Lee, that you've got some of the others coming this time. So
I'm so excited. I can't stand myself.
You just can't hide it? Are you about to lose control?
I'm about to. I'm telling you. And I was told that,
do you think you like it?
Very good with certain guests, and I'm going
to
be good.
You have to be what?
I have to be good.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you can pull it off.
I can't ask anybody to, you know, take off shirts or anything like that, which I wouldn't have done anyway.
You don't want to see me with my shirt off anyway, Lee. It's okay.
No, I've seen you with your shirt off. It's fine. I mean, if you want to take it off, it's fine. Yeah. We can do that a lot. I'm all right.
All right, this one's really weird. So back to Urban Fantasy.
Well, that is actually an Urban Fantasy, John. Nobody's going to see you take your shirt off. Come on.
And
nobody's going to see me take my shirt off either, or Carol.
Again.
We're not doing that.
Yeah, not again, at least.
Trust me. Yeah, not a chance. But I would also like to eventually make it to some of the Whedonverse guests at some point. Mm. I'm not sure, especially, you know, the former Buffy and Angel folks. That would be fun. I would enjoy one of those, but I don't know that will happen this year. But I've always kind of wished I could do that. And now, of course, they're not even in the same building, so it will become more difficult to try to do that. But
I know one of them I'd love to see is Brett Dalton from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Grant Ward. I would love to see him. That is somebody who I'm like, you're a really good actor. I mean, I really get, you know, that's kind of my thing now, because I was like, Ward was really boring, and then he wasn't. And then he was like, oh my God, so interesting. So that speaks to his acting ability, and I just want to say thank you. But yeah, you know, that's one I would love to see. And I'm kind of with you, seeing some more of the Whedon. I've seen a lot of the Whedon people kind of in bits and pieces before, but yeah, we have a nice group coming. This would be nice this year.
Yeah. And then the other thing, of yours, I've never been to any of the Warehouse 13 panels, and I can only imagine that they would be wonderful. So
Eddie has to be experienced. Eddie McClintock is just a wonderful, wonderful person, but you do kind of have to experience Eddie, because he is, oh my goodness, hysterical.
Oh, well, I will certainly keep that in mind. And I will, after we're done talking, I'm going to be looking at your schedule again.
There you go. Yeah. And we're actually, our first Warehouse 13 panel is Friday at 10 a.m.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, we are starting the show off with a bang. It'll be so much fun. So, yep. Just FYI.
Okay. Well, I will keep that in mind.
There you go. Sorry.
That's probably my biggest wishes for this year anyway.
That's cool. So is there anything that you would tell any of your panels specifically, that if I'm brand new to Urban Fantasy, that I've Urban Fantasy track, that is, that you would definitely want them to come check out?
Well, probably what I would suggest is that if they're really into the genre, but they haven't been to Dragon Con before, if they are a fan of, you know, either Jim Butcher or Patricia Briggs or Kevin Hearn, that they might want to come to the individual Q&As with those authors. I will have each of them on other panels throughout the weekend, where some of them will be in the track room, some of them will be in some of the other ballrooms as well. But if they, you know, if they're big fans of those particular people, they might want to try to come to those Q&As simply because they're focused only on those people. Whereas when it is when those particular people are on a panel with others, I expect the questions to be, you know, the audience questions to be geared towards the panel as a whole, or, you know, the kind of thing that people throw out there and say, hey, well, anybody who wants to answer this can answer it, you know, that kind of thing, as opposed to something specific. But I would say, for people really getting a start, that the historical one. The humor panel that we do this year is going to be on Sunday night is always a lot of fun. Laughter is always guaranteed, but it's not always a complete a joke. We don't try to make a joke out of it because humor can be serious, as we all know. And so we do cover some of that. We have on Monday morning, we have a panel on what we call, the name of the panel is Hiding in Plain Sight. And it is basically about what closed worlds in urban fantasy are like, the kind where nobody knows what's going on. It's, you know, for example, something like Grimm, where only a select few know what's going on, that there are all these Vesem out there, or, you know, that's one example. Or in Supernatural, the guys are going out and fighting all these things, and, you know, every once in a while they have to spill the beans to people, but for the most part it's hidden. Those are the kinds of things that I would say people that are interested in urban fantasy would probably enjoy. We do also have someone else that we have join us this year who's never been to con before is Thomas Snegoski, who has written like a whole ton of things in urban fantasy, but he's also written horror. He's written comics. He's written for young adults. He's written for.
I know that name. I'm trying to figure out why I know that name from, but yes, I know that. Yeah.
And so we're going to have one panel on angels in urban fantasy. So I think that one, you know, that one is going to be a lot of fun. We'll have one on magic systems and, you know, just any number of different topics. Because as I said, that's our approach is a thematic one in terms of either the kinds of beings you want to talk about. Like we have one on, on shifters and werewolves, or we'll have one on demons, you know, so it can be that kind of an approach or something else. One that we're doing this year, which is not in the track room and so it is in a ballroom, is the title is Protect and Defend, and it's about urban fantasy protagonists who are non-humans that are protecting humans. And that one I'm looking forward to. I think that is going to be a lot of fun, you know.
We need to do that joint together so we can bring in some Grimm stuff along with your other stuff too next year.
Oh, that would be. That would be a good idea. We can, maybe that's a good idea for next year.
Yeah, right? Next year. See, we hear these things, folks. We're always working on next year. God help us. Okay.
It never stops, doesn't Lee?
Never stops, man. Never stops.
So remind everybody again what where your room is located, and then we're going to get to our quiz that we've been doing at the end of these podcasts.
Oh, my goodness. The quiz. I always like, oh, what am I going to ask me? The Urban Fantasy Track, our home base, is in the Westin. That's where most of our panels take place, whether they're in the track room or in the Peachtree Ballroom. But we are in room Chastain DE, which is the first room on the right when you come in the main entrance of the Westin. So we are actually, we have new across the hall neighbors now. A few tracks moved out. Apocalypse Rising is across the hall. They're in the former Whedonverse room. So they used to be in that hotel, but they weren't in the same area. So they're going to be right across the hall from us. So, you know, you might see vampires and zombies in the hallway, who knows. And that's where to find us. And, you know, sometimes when we have, depending on what the panels are, there may not be anything going on specifically in the track room, but the signs will always be there telling people where these other panels might be taking place.
Sweet. So I don't know if you've been listening, but at the end of these podcasts, we've been doing a quiz with our guests, and we play against Lee. You will be playing against Lee. Since you are urban fantasy, I've randomly selected a couple of quizzes here. Fantasy authors or urban fantasy authors, specifically fantasy authors, I suppose. And I'll be asking you those questions, Carol. And of course, for the urban part, I've got an urban planning quiz, which I will be asking Lee those questions for.
Great.
So we'll go ahead and start with Lee. Since she's got a losing record right now, I will. We'll start with this. So in urban geography, a concept where urban settlement is confined to the area within legal limits of the city and congestion, and virtually all of this area is occupied by urban residents, is known as what? A, true bonded city. B, city planning. C,
no.
Traffic. Or D, agricultural surplus.
A.
Hey, true bonded city. That's correct, Lee. I'm glad.
Yay, I got one right.
Yay. Okay, so Carol, your question is, which author of these four is responsible for the series City of Bones? Is it A, Cassandra Clare? B?
Yes.
Okay, well, there we go. Yes, it is correct.
That's A, yes, okay.
I was gonna add four of them, but
I don't think you need to. Yeah, I knew that one. Can I? Do I get an extra point if I knew it? Because that's the only way I'm possibly gonna win. So I'm just saying.
All right. Well, it's, you don't know. Your next question is angles measured clockwise from any meridian, usually north. However, the National Geodetic Survey uses south.
What the hell's the question?
I don't know. I'm actually not clear on what they're asking either. And hey, I got it right because they gave the answer in the question. All right, hold on. Let's go to the next one. The orderly arrangement of urban streets and public spaces. Is that urban planning, city planning, urban design, or zoning?
That is city planning.
City planning is correct. Uh-oh. I mean, yay. You got it right. I'm happy for you.
Yesterday I got some right too, and you weren't happy for me then, because you were like, and then the other person was agreeing with me.
Carol, this is for you. Which author is responsible for the Vampire Academy or Vampire Academy? Is it Rachel Mead? PC Cat?
It's actually Rochelle Mead, that's her.
Oh. Okay. There we go.
Rochelle. It is Rochelle. Okay.
Oh, no, yeah, that's how it is spelled. Okay. But as we all know, I can't read. So that's a problem.
I'm sorry. Right now, Carol is almost winning my favorite answerer. Because she's just like, no, stop. This is the answer. I'm liking Carol's schooling you, and it's kind of fun.
Okay.
She was, and fun fact, Rochelle was actually at Dragon Con several years ago. Yeah, she was back when we still had the Dark Fantasy track. She was a lot of fun.
There you go. Ha ha.
Okay, but don't tell her that I got her name wrong, okay?
I will not, I promise.
All right, Lee, this is for you. A type of planning which emphasizes that the proper role of the planner is not to serve the general public interest, but rather to serve the interests of the least fortunate or at least well-represented groups in society. Is that Greenbelt, promote human growth, sustainable land use planning, or advocacy planning?
That's advocacy planning.
That's correct.
That's advocacy.
Hey, good for
Thank you. I'm going to tell John why I'm doing well on this in a little while, but it's okay.
Okay. Let's see. Who is responsible, Carol, for the Glass Houses series? Do I even need to read them off, or do you just know what they are?
I'm not familiar with that as a series title, but if Rachel Kane is one of the names you have, that was the first book in another series.
Yes, that is correct. You are correct.
Okay. It's actually the Morganville Vampire series. But Glass House is the first book.
Carol wins.
All right. So here we go, Lee. This code mandates that all local government units shall prepare their comprehensive land use plans and enact them through zoning ordinances. Is that local government code 192RA7161?
Oh, you shithead.
Local government code 1991RA7160. Local government code 1993RA9260. Or local government code 1994RA 71-62.
Tell me the years again. I got 73, 94, and what are the other 2 years?
Oh, no, 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 no. Those 92, 91, 93, and 94. Or 91, 92, 93, 94.
91, 92,
94. And then the RA, which I believe is...
Yeah, no, no, don't worry about that part. And you said this is for what coding?
Mandates that all local government units shall prepare their comprehensive land use plans and enact them through zoning ordinances.
I think that's 93, but I'm not sure.
Disappointed if you get this.
I got it right.
No, you didn't. It's, I'm sorry. Oh. As everybody knows, Carol, would you like to take a guess? You can steal.
I think not, but thank you anyway.
Well, you've got a 1 in 3 chance. It's either 91, 92, or 94.
Well, I thought Lee said 93.
Oh, did.
She said, it's 91, 92, or 94. Sorry, that's her.
The other answer is 94. I would have gone with 94. It was either 93 or 94.
Well, either one would have been wrong. Because, of course, as everybody knows, it's 1991, RA 7160. No. Everybody knows that.
As everyone knows.
You know, you had to look for that question, didn't you?
No, it's actually, it was the next one that came. Although I did,
was
skip,
it really?
I did skip one to make sure because it was too easy.
See?
I mean, no. I didn't skip anything. It was the next one that came up. Mm-hmm. Dead Until Dark.
Okay. That is Charlaine Harris.
That is correct.
That was the Sookie series. So
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Lee, wide area of parks. A wide area of parks of undeveloped land surrounding a community. Is that Greenbelt, Final Plat, Azimuths? Sure. Or Platting?
It's surrounding a community. It's a Greenbelt.
Greenbelt is correctly. Very good.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Okay, so it's 4-4 right now, and now it's time for Carol. Let's see. Blue Bloods. Blue Bloods. Is it LJ Smith? Melissa de la Cruz? Nalagi Singh? Sure. Kelly Armstrong? Or that's it. A, B, C, or D.
Yes, De La Cruz.
It is absolutely De La Cruz, as everybody knows.
Yay, Carol won!
Except for me, or a lot of other people. I'm sure a lot of people know it. I don't read. Or can't. I can't really. I mean, Florida public education, so there you go.
You just don't like to read.
Now, John, I did recommend a series to you a few years ago. I don't know if you ever bothered to check them out.
Which one was that? Which one was that again?
Which one was it?
It was the Nursery Crime series by Jasper Ford, and his name is spelled F. It's kind of odd because it's F-F-O-R-D-E, and they're very funny. But they're murder mysteries based upon the nursery crimes where crimes from the nursery rhymes where
of
these creatures are actually real. I think you would enjoy it. I think you would get a kick out of it. So
I thought you recommended that one to your daughter for some unknown reason, or your son.
That might have been what it was. That's probably very true.
Maybe you did read one then and you thought, hey.
All right.
Who knows?
I'm sure they've read it. They read all the time. Everybody else in my family reads. I just not me. I don't know what you want to call me. Anyway, illiterate one. I'm not illiterate, but anyway, whatever. So, Carol, congratulations on winning. Lee. Did you want to share something with me of how you were getting so many of those correctly? Correct.
I am working in public health.
Well, yeah, I know, but you didn't know that it was a 1991 RA 7160.
That is very true. That I did not know. Yeah, the code. I did not know the number of the year of the code. That is very true.
Jeez, Lee, seriously, come on. When we trust our public health to you.
Go away, John.
Carol, thank you once again for joining us. Again, everyone can check her out at Urban Fantasy. It's obviously going to be at Dragon Con. You can, is there a website thingy or email address to reach you?
Your Facebook.
Yes. The website, the track website is connected to the main Dragon Con website, the way it is for everybody else. And for Facebook, if you just look up Dragon Con Urban Fantasy, you're going to come straight to our page. And that's where the most updates are made more quickly. And I mean, that's something that I'm active on every day. So, and I have someone else that helps me with that. So we get news and updates and, you know, just try to stay in front of people that way. And also, our Twitter is at Urban Fantasy DC. So we do that. We are not as good about updating throughout the year, whereas Facebook is something that I stay active with all year long. But the Twitter account is busier right now, you know, like for a couple of months up to Con and now. So whenever we get updates of things, they will appear in those two places as well.
Carol, thank you again for joining us. Thank you for taking time, and thank your volunteers for us as well. As always, these are the folks that make it, you know, possible for Dragon Con to happen. I mean, literally, it is built on fans and volunteers alike to bring this fun festival every year to Atlanta. So we appreciate you taking your time and your volunteers' time as well to make all this happen.
Well, thank you, and I will pass that on to them. They will be very appreciative.
And as I've told people earlier this year, for those listening, even if you just say thank you to one volunteer a day, and if everybody does that, that'll make all the difference. So, you know, just do that. So, until next time, for Carol and Lee, this is John Lee, who doesn't know the 1991 7160.
Don't just keep going. Just go.
This is John saying peace.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, everyone.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow the geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.